Welcome to the broadcast.
Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Thanks for tuning in.
It's Rosie on the House, your weekend wake-up tradition.
Inch by inch, row by row, gonna make this garden grow.
Come on around back, Arizona. Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. It's Rosie on the House, your Saturday morning tradition since 1988. 8 o'clock hour, outdoor living hour on the third Saturday of this February 2022. Jay Harper's in studio with us talking deciduous fruit trees and things that are blooming right now. That was one additional topic that came up because there is a bush that blooms full of orange. It's not Palo Verde. It's a little bush, but it's got that same Palo Verde yellow, just explodes. And I never think about that bush until it blooms, because the scent of it always reminds me of my grandpa's medical clinic, his allergy office. For whatever reason, they must have had a couple of them outside, because every time I get that scent, I just picture his medical clinic.
Well, they planted him out there to make everybody sneeze before they
right,
came.
Right, yeah. And that, it was brilliant.
Yeah, exactly.
Come get your allergy shot. If you don't think you need it, just sniff those a couple times before you come in.
Yeah, the picture that you sent me is Cassia, C-A-S-S-I-A, Cassia. Now I think they have changed it to Senna, S-E-N-N-A, technically, but the particular species that you sent is feathery cassia or Artemisioides. Has a little feathery gray leaf, ferny kind of a foliage to it. Blooms about now, early spring, late winter. Yeah, they're just a big ball of yellow when you see them. Very tough plant. Very low water user. Very tough.
I can testify to that. Yeah. We have a planter.
You've got one to live?
I've got a planter. I bet you we've tried 12 different things in there. And this spring, these cassia volunteers popped up. I said, baby, you have just found yourself a new home right there.
Yeah.
They've got to be hardy.
Yeah, especially if they volunteered. You know,
yeah,
they're
man.
Yeah. They're liking it there. They are tough. They do produce a lot of seed. Maybe the knock on them from an aesthetic standpoint is, you know, all those flowers turn into a seed pod. And then as spring turns into summer, those seed pods dry up. And you sometimes have a nice big yellow ball of yellow. And now you have a nice big ball of brown seed pods then. And the key to that really is, boy, as soon as they're done blooming and you see the green, get out there and give it a little haircut and you can cut a lot of that off. Before it turns into. And then, of course, the seeds, they do volunteer. So the seed, once they go to seed and the seed pods shatter and fall to the ground or the wind blows them around or whatever, you can have a few coming up all over the place. But it's been a very long time standard of our low water use landscape palette in southern Arizona. Sell them like crazy in the nursery when they're blooming, and the rest of the year, not so much.
Yeah, because there's a couple by our office, and I never pay any attention to them, but this time of year, all of a sudden, it's just, wow, where did that come from?
Yep.
So, and that was my next question, can you get those in a nursery, and they do.
Oh, yeah, it's a basic kind of a standard palette item for most nurseries, yeah.
And so if I'm going, it's called a
Cassia.
All right. Yeah. And you said it's low water use, and Rosie was talking about his being a volunteer. I mean, you when you plant them, you'd still need to put some kind of little irrigation.
Of course. You know, especially for the first going through the first summer or two. But you could eventually probably wean it off of any water at all eventually. But like anything else, it's going to look a lot better, particularly in the spring through the early fall, if it gets some regular watering through those drier, hot months.
So if you're driving around and you see a little yellow bush just full of bloom right now, that's the cassia.
Yeah, and unfortunately, in our landscape, in our desert, there's a lot of yellow flowers. You got brittle bush, it's going to start blooming pretty quick. Cassia, a number of other things that are yellow in the desert. So, but it's sure one of them. It does get pretty big, so that's something to take into consideration. You know, if you don't want to have to be trimming it a lot, which I'm an advocate for not trimming a lot. Yeah, things look a lot better, and let them get natural size. It'll get, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet tall and that wide as well. So
can you cut it back like bougainvillea down to about maybe, you know, after it's bloomed, of course?
Well, once it's done blooming, and that does solve the seed pod problem, if you trim it, you know, by about a third, you could probably keep it at 4 feet maybe if you did that, something like that.
If you'd like to join the conversation, ask about your landscape garden plant, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. Text questions can be sent to 411-923, or you can email us at info@rosieonthehouse.com. On our home maintenance calendar, we had slated for today deciduous fruit trees, and we've kind of talked a lot about trees the last couple weeks, but it's just a great time to plant.
Yeah, pretty much anything you want to do now. And Gary mentioned pruning. And depending on where you lived, we did have a little bit of frost damage earlier in the winter. And so kind of keep your eye on new growth emerging from things. That'll give you a sign of when you can safely really start pruning back those plants that got damaged by frost, things like natal plum, bougainvillea, lantana, and the like. So, you know, you're pretty safe in most areas of the valley after about Valentine's Day, so from here on. But I generally tell folks just to watch the new growth. When the plants start pushing out new growth, that's a pretty good sign that they're ready to recover, so go ahead and prune back. And if you're going to prune, Gary also mentioned, do it. You know, don't just get a nickel's worth, get a quarter's worth. You know, go ahead and prune it heavily, and then you don't have to prune the rest of the year. Remember, most plants will grow about a third of their size over the course of the year. So if you will reduce a plant size by at least a third, you can kind of maintain that size. That's a rule of thumb. It doesn't apply to everything, but it's something just to keep in mind. So don't just take an inch or two off. Maybe take a foot or more off of the plant, and then quit pruning it, quit shearing it, quit shaping it. Save yourself a lot of time, and the plants will look a lot better, and they'll actually be healthier if you just kind of use the pruners once and then put them away for a while.
Let the tree do its thing.
Yes. But we're into the time we should be fertilizing citrus and any other fruit trees. Valentine's Day is kind of one of those trigger dates to remember for fertilizing. But yeah, planting, man, get with it. You know, you got a good 60 days here before we start worrying about it getting a little bit warm, and it's a great time to do it.
And you had just mentioned fertilizing citrus and Valentine's being one of the trigger dates to remember to do that. What, you know, you go into the nursery, there's a lot of different options there for fertilizer. What's your favorite?
Well, there's a couple ways to go. You know, if you want organic, you know, the company I work for makes a great organic fertilizer. It's made from locally sourced chicken manure from the Hickman's Egg Farms chickens. And we make that into a pellet form, and it's a wonderful fertilizer. Everybody, I think, that's gardened for a long time realizes chicken manure is one of the better fertilizers out there, and we make a really nice product, which you can find at a lot of nurseries. The Farm's Choice is the brand. It comes in a little 15-pound white bucket, or you can buy a 50-pound bag of it. So that's a great option if you want organics. And then
it's come a long way from when it first hit the market. It had, you know, I'm not exactly sure what's changing the processing, but the odor isn't as strong as
well. A lot of that has to do with some things they're putting in the feed for the chicken, some different extracts of things that not necessarily doing that to reduce the odor, but doing it for other reasons. But it has had that effect on it. It's still going to have, it is what it is. But you know, any organic product is going to have some odor, blood meal, bone meal, all of those products, you know, because of where they come from. But
that's how you know it's going to work.
And it doesn't persist that long. So, you know, don't fear. Maybe don't do it if you're having a wedding. Don't do it the Friday before the Saturday wedding. Fertilize your garden. But,
and when you get home, if you've got a SUV or a vehicle, you know, don't leave 5 buckets in the truck and let it get heated up in the sun for a day.
Actually, the buckets are pretty good because they're sealed up. But if you get the bags, in the hot car for a couple of days, it probably would have a nice aroma to it. But that's a great organic product for sure. Fertilome makes a good citrus food. Organo, the old Organo product, is a good one. So there's several really good ones. You know, we always told people all fertilizers work except the ones that you keep in your garden storage bin and never use. And so, you know, follow the directions. Citrus need a fair amount of nitrogen. So, you know, you want to make sure that you follow the directions so you get the adequate amount of nitrogen applied to them. But just make sure you do it and do it on a regular basis. And there isn't a fertilizer out there if it has any analysis at all. So those three numbers that you see on the back of the bag, the three big numbers are nitrogen, phosphorus, and potash. In our desert dry climate, nitrogen is typically the most important because it's the most lacking. Nitrogen is what plants need to grow foliage and have green to them, and so they utilize a lot of nitrogen. So that's something you want to pay particular attention to. But anything that has that analysis will work. You just make sure you use it. I see a lot of storage sheds and garages that have 20-year-old bags of fertilizer in them. Well, they don't work very well sitting in the bag on the shelf.